tonight the message is about the things that accompany salvation. I want to read several scriptures to you that have to do with the things that go along with salvation. 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And now, Acts chapter 9. The Apostle Paul has just been struck down on the road to Emmaus by the brilliant light of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, and he's blind. And Ananias is being sent to him. And Ananias is objecting, saying, "Why, he is one that persecuted us recently." And this is what God tells Ananias. Verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, to the end that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Verse 11, to which end we also pray always for you, that our God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith and power, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's look at one more in Hebrews 3. Perhaps I'll bring the others to your attention as we go along. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. We thank you, Father, that you've told us so much in the scriptures about the things associated with our being called. We pray, our God, that we may comprehend them, that we may embrace them, and that they may strengthen us to walk worthily for you as we go through life. So this night, by thy Spirit, prepare us and bless us as we look to thee for good, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The definition of election, again, God's gracious choosing in eternity of certain individuals for salvation and the things that accompany this salvation. Once more, what is election? It is God's gracious choosing in eternity of special individuals for salvation and the things that accompany this salvation. I read you some of the things that go along with this election, those that God has chosen, those that are special to him. The difference is this. I told you Lord's Day morning that I was very special, that is, inasmuch as I was one of the elect. All of this happened because of something that God did before time began. But now that we find ourselves in time and called, God says, "I want you to be worthy of what I've done for you." nobody would argue that we were unworthy as recipients of the call of God for salvation and all things that go along with it. But who of us would deny that we should seek by the grace and power of God to be worthy of that gracious calling that He bestowed upon us? And that is what He is expecting of us. There were so many scriptures I could have read to you about the special protection and care that God bestows upon those who have trusted His Son as Savior. I told you salvation, but God takes that for granted. This is what is so remarkable. In a coming day, some will be going through the great tribulation, and God, speaking of that tribulation, says that it is so severe, so intense, that unless God had shortened the days, no flesh would have been saved. And He says, but for the elect's sake, God will shorten the days. Can you imagine that? That God, for a certain group of people, looks over the prophetical program that He's given, and instead of making it go along with everything that He's laid out before us, He says, if it went that long with that severity, no flesh would be saved. He says, I'm going to shorten the days of the tribulation, and I'm going to do it for the elect's sake. The next thing is this. It says that at that time, lies, delusions, trickery, satanic workings will be going on, and it says they will be so cunning and so convincing that if it were possible, they would deceive even the elect. But what God is telling us is this, that if we are His elect, we cannot be deceived in this respect. In so many areas of doctrine, the people of God are deceived. But when it comes to this, whether the Antichrist is truly the Son of God or Jesus is the Son of God, we cannot be deceived. No matter how many miracles, no matter how convincing the words that are spoken in those days, it says it is impossible to deceive the elect. That is a glorious thing. That means that I must study, I must consider the Word of God concerning all doctrines. But there are some things that I will not be deceived about. Some of us have more discernment than others. I remember years ago being in the home of a dear Christian, a Christian who did not have too much discernment, and she had her television set on, and there was this gaudy display of the flesh and everything that was repulsive, and it was one of her favorite evangelists. And in a moment, I looked at him, and I looked at his wife, and I said, this is false. This isn't of God. But she thought that it was wonderful. And it wasn't long after that that he was in jail and his wife had divorced him. But I had discernment enough to see through the flesh how it wasn't of God, but it was of man. Now, in that respect, concerning all of those that your favorite preachers, you may be wrong. I may say this. If I'm your favorite preacher, you're right. But concerning others, you may be wrong. So what you have to do is, for those that you respect most, you go home as the Bereans and search the scriptures daily whether these things are so. And then God will let you see from a comparison of the Word of God with what these men say, whether they are of God or whether they are not of God. And so this is one of the special blessings of the elect, that you cannot be deceived in this respect, that Jesus is not the Christ, the Son of the living God. You cannot be deceived. Someone telling you, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does not cleanse from sin. you cannot be deceived in that respect. In minor things, you can be led astray. But God has given you an unction, an anointing, and you know certain things. There are some who have the special gift of discernment. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But all of us have a certain degree of discernment, and it may be at that time. A greater degree of discernment is imparted to us for this reason. It said that some are going to be martyrs. And when they are brought before kings, it said, you are not to give any thought as to what you're going to say. The Spirit of God will give you in that hour the words that you're going to say, and they will be effectual. And that's a great encouragement. And I remember one old brother saying, yes, he said, and that is the scripture of young preachers who haven't prepared to get up on the pulpit. They say, I'm relying on that promise for you to give me things, and I don't have to study and put any attention to it. He said, do not be surprised if you are disappointed, because the promise does not relate to preparing messages for the people of God. But there are certain things that God does for the elect. There are certain blessings bestowed upon them, and one of them is this, that right now, at the throne of God, Satan is accusing the elect. He accuses them day and night. But I read to you in Romans chapter 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And that rejoices my soul. That indeed, unlike Satan's accusation against Job, I'm afraid his accusations against us at times may be true and valid. But there is this elect, and no one can bring a charge against us that is superior to the death of Jesus Christ for us. All of our sins are cleansed in that respect. As for judgment being brought upon us, discipline, chastening, yes. But as for our being condemned and rejected and not allowed to enter the kingdom of God, that will never happen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Ultimately, no one shall. It is God who justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And so these are the things that God has told us go along with this salvation that God bestowed upon the elect when they trusted Christ as Savior. And I did not read you this verse, but the Apostle Paul prays for those in Ephesus. He said, I'm sending a prayer up to God that may God may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. What God wants you to know is all that is associated with the hope of his calling. Salvation, that's taken for granted. But he wants you to know everything else that is associated with the calling with which he has called us in Christ Jesus. And that is something that he prays for. And that is something that we must go to the scriptures for and search out, because we have exceeding great and precious promises. And what God wants us to do is search the scriptures and find those promises. New ones, additional ones, richer interpretations of them. Day by day, the Apostle Paul says, I am praying that God may give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know. God does not want ignorant Christians. How many have relied upon this scripture? If any man thinketh he knoweth anything, he knoweth not yet as he ought to know. It says, certain things puff up. It said, but love builds up. But knowing what God wants you to know about the hope and all that's associated with it does not puff you up, but it builds you up. It gives you stability, and it gives you the ability to resist the temptations of the devil. And this is what Paul is praying for in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what God is longing for. This is what Paul, this is what John, what all of those who have children of God entrusted to their care want. They want you to walk in the ways of God. This is what John says to this elect lady. He said, there's nothing that thrills my heart more, nothing that blesses me more, to hear of your children walking in the truth. If you want something that will discourage you, look at the people of God and then look at their children. And if their children are going astray, the hearts of the parents are broken. And it should be that our hearts are broken as well. And when you have children of God's children that are walking in the truth, that gives us joy. That's the thing that should please us. And this is what God desires of us. That we walk worthily of God. That we are able to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This is what God wants. And so for that reason, Paul is praying that we might know all these blessings that are ours and also the responsibilities that are ours. Do you realize this? That when God chose you, He had plans for your life. Your life consists of two parts. Up until the time that you trusted Christ as Savior and the time after you trusted Christ as Savior. And Peter says, I do not want you to spend the rest of your time in the world to the lusts of the flesh, but to the will of God. And that's what he wants now. He wants us to spend the rest of our time down here on earth to the will of God. And when he chose you, he had certain things he expected you to accomplish. He gave you a certain degree of gift, and he expects you to fulfill it. And this is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I want to lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Now, in three chapters, Acts 9, 22, and 26, you find the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And when Ananias is telling God, I can't go to this man. Why, he's just now seeking to persecute us, to imprison us. He's seeking to put us to death. And the Lord Jesus said, go thy way. He is a chosen vessel unto me. Notice, a chosen one. A chosen vessel unto me to bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great suffering he must endure for my sake. We're talking about Christ suffering for us. The Lord Jesus said, now I'm going to show Paul how much he will suffer for my sake. Which brings us to this. When God chose him to be an evangelist, a preacher to the Gentiles, and to others as well, but especially the Gentiles, it was not that he simply, as I, you come out and in peace and quiet, you listen to the word of God. But if you read through the book of Acts, you will see how difficult it was for him to carry that message to the lost and then to edify the children of God. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says in Titus, it says, according to the hope of God's elect, it means that he has been chosen, he is an apostle, for the purpose of imparting the truth to the elect of God. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But all whom he has chosen, all of those whom he has foreknown, it says, them he also called. And he calls men through men. We are ambassadors for Christ. And I told you this, that some are called at a very young age, such as Timothy. Others, such as Samuel, a little older. The Apostle Paul, later in life. Some in their 60s. And some the day of their death, the thief on the cross. But all the elect have to be called. And the ordinary way is for a child of God who possesses the truth to go and impart it to those who do not have the truth. And the Apostle Paul knew what that was going to involve. And this is what he says. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now tell me this truthfully. Do you care about those whom God has chosen receiving the truth, passing from death to life? Do you realize that God has placed the responsibility upon you, that you are an ambassador for Christ, and at times it's going to involve suffering, enduring hardship? Read Acts 16. I could have given God so much instruction telling how that Philippian jailer should be saved, other than having Paul and Silas to be arrested and beaten and cast into prison and abandoned. But that was the way that the Philippian jailer was going to respond to the message of salvation. Only that would cause him to cry out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And now two suffering prisoners were listening when that call went forth. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." And so tell me the truth. Are you willing to endure those things for the elect's sake, or do you just say to them, "Go to hell"? Because you must understand that if they are not told, they will go to hell. But there is not one of the elect that is going to hell, because God sees to it that they always receive the message. It used to be safe to hitchhike a ride, and when I was going to school in Canada, that's the way I went back and forth. I hitchhiked. And in the western part of New York, Buffalo, New York, I was hitching a ride, and a man that was a Jew stopped and gave me a ride. And I was going to witness to him, and so we rode 100 miles, 200 miles, and it never came the time to witness to him. It didn't open up. But as we were driving along, suddenly an animal ran out in front of his car, and he hit the animal. And he was a good-hearted Jew, and he stopped the car, and he got out to see if anything could be done to save that animal. But nothing could be done. But when he got out of the car, a man out of the blue came up to that Jew, and he said, "Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior?" And I was standing there. I said, "Oh, Lord," I'd been with him 200 miles, and I was to ask him that question and tell him about the Savior. "And you've taken it away from me. And now, Lord, you've given that opportunity to this man, and I know not who he was." And so that man witnessed to Christ. I tell you that God is going to get the message to the elect by you or someone else. But what is happening at that time? I wasn't one who won souls, and I wasn't wise, but I was waiting for the opportune moment. And while I was waiting, another came in and witnessed before me. And so I hope I've learned the lesson. What you have to do is, with all the wisdom God has given you, seek an opening. It would be enough if I were to tell you, there is not a day that goes by when I do not witness to a lost sinner. There was one dear brother down in South Carolina, and he said, "I count it a wasted day when I do not win someone to Christ every day." And I said, "How can this be?" Now, the way he won them, if he could just get them to say yes, then he had won them for Christ. But I've heard others do it that same way. Now, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes. Well, you trust him as Savior? Yes, good. Thank you, Lord. I saved that man today. You may have, you may not have. But at least he witnessed to someone and told them about Christ every day. And so Paul said, "I endure all things for the elect's sake." So for the elect to be saved, the other elect have to endure things, suffer things. And I'm wondering if you and I are prepared to endure suffering, physical suffering, as Paul and Silas did in Acts 16, or if I'm willing to even endure embarrassment or inconvenience to tell souls. about Christ. So this is one of the responsibilities that is ours. When God chose us, I told you that he said to the Apostle Paul, this is what I want you to do for me. And the Apostle Paul said, my desire in life now as your elect, Father, is to lay hold on that for which you laid hold on me. He wanted to witness to every man that God intended him to witness to. He said, my hands are pure from the blood of all men. And that is what God wants us to be able to say, to tell the lost. And my responsibility has been to build up the children of God. And that is what I have sought to do. So whatever he's called you to do, you try to lay hold on that for which he has laid hold on you. Now let me give you a threefold description of our calling. Listen to this. It says in Philippians chapter 3 that God called us with a high calling. And these you can remember because they all are similar. In Philippians 3, the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. In 2 Timothy 1, it is, he saved us and called us with a holy calling. And in Hebrews chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. And so our calling is a high calling, and it's a holy calling, and it's a heavenly calling. And it means both the origin of that call is heaven, and at the same time, the destination of that call is heaven. And so think now, what we were in the past and how your life could be described when you were without Christ, without hope, without God in the world. And now think of your life. God says, there is an upward slant to the way that you live now. It goes toward heaven. You were going downward to hell. But now it is a high calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it is a holy calling. It is both holy because of him who called you, and he called you to holiness. We are to follow after holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And then at the same time, it is a heavenly calling. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. Heaven is partly ours. And these are some of the things that the Apostle Paul is praying for, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. And if we do, I guarantee that the allurements of the world and the temptations of the world will be lessened if God's Spirit can bring to our attention all the things that are ours. What is the hope of our calling? And so what does God expect of us? This. He expects us to make our calling and election sure. You say, why, that's a remarkable thing. Make it sure to whom? Well, I think God might be sure whether you are elect or not. And so, to whom are we to make our calling and election sure? Ourselves. And how do we do it? By that holy living, by being accounted worthy of God. And this is what Peter says. It said, yea, and for this cause, giving all diligence, in your faith supply virtue, and in your virtue knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control patience, and in your patience brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. He said, if you live this way, if you day by day look over these things and add these things one upon another, they will make you to be neither idle nor unfruitful. And therefore, your calling and election will be made sure. Beware if you are those who say, we are saved by grace through faith. It makes no difference how we live. We are still going to heaven. Then you cannot be sure of your calling and your election. The only way to make it sure is to live that holy life, to walk worthily of God. It does not give you eternal life, but it makes sure that you are among the elect. And so God has much for us. By his grace, may we embrace it and may we enjoy it all, we who are the special elect of God. That's enough.